What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Show here with Coach Tom Pecora, the Quinnipiac Bobcats, out of the MAC. Coach, good to talk to you again. How things up there in Connecticut, man?
We're living the dream up here in the Nutmeg State of Connecticut. It's a beautiful fall day. I'm getting ready to have a great practice. Just came out of a high school gym, watched a kid work out this morning, so life is good.
And Coach, I look at your roster, man. You really want these high school kids, man, because you got 7 freshmen and 4 sophomores. Talk about this NIL era, port era, how it's still important to find young high school talent to grow and develop inside your program.
Yeah, well, that's our formula, man. Look, you know, we can get into the whole world of NIL in a bit. I think the whole thing is broken. But for us, look, we're not going to be throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars at guys. We are going to go find great high school players. I go recruit them. I talk to them and their families about coming. And I'm a AAA baseball coach. I'm like, I'm going to get you ready for the show. And if you come here with us for 2 years and the big boys come after you, I'm going to help you get the best deal you can get. And we've had some guys that have had the opportunity to do that. And we have a couple guys that had opportunities to get big money. And they said, no, thank you, because their quality of life and they're comfortable with what they're getting. And I think that that sends a really strong message, man, because a lot of these cats are just, they're not going to have the college experience that you're supposed to have, man, when you're 18 to 22 or 23 years old and have, you know, your best friends who were your roommates. You know, I mean, I got out 40 years ago. I still talk to the two dudes I lived with at Adelphi University. You know, I mean, when I see these guys bouncing around and they're just chasing the money, I get it a little bit, but I also know that the money don't bring happiness, and the money seems to burn pretty quick, because all of a sudden there's a lot of people out there that got their hand out. So I think you really got to have some balance in the way you approach this.
And cozy dudes don't realize you have to pay taxes on that money too.
No kidding. Welcome to the grown-up world, right?
Yes. They don't understand it. Hey, this money ain't tax-free, buddy. You have to pay Uncle Sam his cut of it too, buddy.
That's right. You got a partner, and he's called Uncle Sam. That's right.
And Coach, you said something so very profound, because this weekend was my homecoming at Tennessee State. So like you said, I've been together for 4 years, get my master's there, be able to hang out with some friends who I still have from freshman seminar and orientation. Yeah. So like you said, these guys hopping around, they don't get to experience that homecoming. Like I got to this weekend with dudes who I literally met at orientation.
Exactly right. And, you know, the other thing, too, like, all right, let's say you have a great career, whether you get the opportunity to play in the league or over in Europe, or, you know, professionally. And now you play for 10 years. So now you're in your early mid-30s. and you don't have a university to go back to. You know, you don't have a university where your number is hanging from the rafters because you're one of the all-time leading scorers or you had a great four-year career there. You know, there's all of these connections that it becomes transient. You know, you're in and you're out, and guys are just thinking about their next move. So by me selling the JUCO thing to these guys, I'm like, hey, guys have had success doing that, but now when you choose that next spot, find a spot where you think you're going to be ready to go stay for 2 years, and don't just be ready to bounce. And how many guys are not graduating? Like, if they're going to put this crazy transfer thing in, I'm cool with it, but still make them sit a year. And two things will happen. You'll have 5 years, and hell, even I graduated in 5 years. So, I mean, if I could do it in 5 years, anybody can. But the thing, too, is the school taking you would really want you, because they're going to pay for that year you're still sitting. And it gives you another year to mature and develop relationships at that place. And then you get your college degree in 5 years. So when you're done playing, whenever that might be, you're legit. You got your degree. You're not looking to try to go back to school and finish things up. And we all know how many guys that's happened to. So, I mean, I'm still old school, and I am. I'm an old man, but, I mean, it's like, you come, and I got the opportunity to go to college. I was the only one my family ever went. I got the opportunity to go to college, and I got a degree. And that's what this whole thing is about, getting guys educated, men and women getting them their degrees. And you know, obviously the women do a much better job with it than we do, but that's no surprise.
Coach, you said something as well, because, you know, I'm my grandmother's first grandchild to get a college degree is me. So right. I'm the first one. So
yeah, I can relate, man, yeah.
So, yeah, Coach, I know without me getting my degree in business, I couldn't have transitioned into the media and earning my own media company and doing this 14 years and getting the jobs that I've gotten because that degree in business taught me how to run what I'm doing right now when I'm my own person without any help.
Right. You're setting the table, man. When you're there, you're setting the table for success later in life.
No doubt, Coach. And these freshmen you got coming in, Coach, I wanted – but the fans are saying something. They only know your language now. They're not coming in with different language. So if it's blue means ice, or they know your language, know how you do things, how to eat, how to work, how to print, how to watch film. Think about getting these guys where you don't have to worry about trying to break them of old habits and old languages in their heads.
Yeah, no, it helps tremendously. And the other thing, too, is, you know, I lean hard on my veterans, the guys that are here that are juniors and seniors. And you know, it's funny, like even sophomores are veterans now, right, because they've been in the program a year. But, you know, I lean on them hard to talk to the young bucks and say, look, man, this stuff's important. You got to understand what's going on. You got to study it, you know. And I lean on them to be big brothers to them and kind of show them the way. It's funny, as you grow older as a coach, you know, you can pinpoint things that are really, really important. And I remember myself as a young coach, I wanted to control everything. I wanted to touch everything. I wanted to make sure, you know, dot your I's, cross your T's, but it was almost to the extreme. And then the big message doesn't always get through. So, you know, as a coach of 40 years now, like, I give my assistants so much responsibility, because in the 40 years, I've been a head coach for 20 years and I was an assistant for 20. And as an assistant, the thing that was most frustrating to me was when I couldn't work. And I was working, it only happened to me twice, but I worked for two coaches, one earlier in my career and one recently, where, like, they didn't let the assistants do much. And, you know, you're not teaching them how to grow and become a head coach. And I feel like that's part of my responsibility. You know, when I first got out of college, I was teaching school and coaching in high school. Bob McKillop, Steph Curry's coach, was my high school coach on Long Island. And I got a job with him. And, you know, he was like, hey, stand on my shoulders. If I'm this good, I want you to be this much better. And he exposed me and gave me an opportunity. And then I went to work for Rolly Massimino, who was, you know, a national championship coach. And he was exactly the same way for me. Stand on my shoulders, you know, and then Jay Wright and I work together, and that's how you grow as a coach. And I feel a responsibility to my staff. I got a great young staff, and you know, I hold a responsibility to them. I want them to be great coaches, no matter what level they go on and move on to and become head coaches.
And Coach, I'll take a listen to kind of inside coaching. So, Coach, as your career, how have you changed the way you do your practice plans now? Because I know as the game has changed, the young men has changed. So how do you go about your practice plan now, making sure you're doing the right focused things every day, make sure the team's getting what they need every day?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. If you come up, and I'd love to have you come visit, you ever come through my office, I have binders and binders of practice plans that go way back to when I was the freshman coach. I was right out of college. Bob McKillop was the head coach at Long Island Lutheran High School, and I was the freshman coach and a varsity assistant. And he would give me 45 minutes to practice half court. I only had half the court. The JV was on the other half, and he was on the. He came on and took the court the rest of the day, right? And I still use those drills late in the season because late in the year I want to save my guys' legs so we don't go up and down a ton because we've been playing for 4 months already. And I go back and I take some of those half-court drills and we still use them on the level we're coaching at now. So, I mean, there's nothing that you pick up in coaching. I'm going to go, like I said, I watched a workout this morning. I leave there, I have stuff written down on a napkin. You know, I'm still learning. I'm 67 years old. I've been coaching in college for 40 years. And I'm still learning. And I'll go to a practice this afternoon. I'll do the same thing. So I think that you can always refer back to all of those things. And when I get opportunities to go watch other teams practice, I encourage my assistants to do that in the fall. When we have an off day, we take off Wednesdays and Sundays in preseason. I encourage them, if they're not recruiting that day, just go watch a local team practice and come back with some drills and some ideas, because that's how you grow and that's how you work on your craft.
No doubt, Coach. I spent a lot of time myself on coaching you, Radius Athletics, looking at slapping glass, because I want to give my listeners a little bit about basketball. You know, my dad was a coach. So I try to coach the listeners about the game of basketball, not just saying plays, learning action, looking at the other side, looking at the weak side, what's going on, weak side actions. So just watch all 10 players, not the guy with the ball and the guy in front of him trying to defend him, trying to go guard his yard. So
that's right. People don't realize, like, coaches don't watch the ball. They watch everything off the ball. You know, when you're watching the game, you know, I kind of got a pretty good feel what the ball's going to do. Let me see what they're doing, you know, on the weak side, where are the defenders, you know, all of those kind of things. So it's great, man. Like, for yourself, having a dad as a coach, that must have been, a great experience. My father was like a laborer, I remember him when I got my first coaching job, he pulled me aside away from my mom, and he was like, all right, so, like, what else do they make you do? Like, he couldn't believe they were going to pay me just to coach basketball, you know, in college. He thought I was going to have to, like, sweep the floors and do some maintenance work or whatever it might have been, you know, because that was the world he grew up in, you know. So I'm so lucky in that regard, you know. I'm not busting my tail like that physically like he did his whole life. So, you know, the coaching business has changed drastically. I think one of the biggest things for me as an old guy looking back at it is a lot of guys – come right in, like they become college GAs, college assistants at a high level. And then when they get their first job, it's not always at a high level. And they don't know the intricacies and all the little stuff you do need to do as a mid-major or low-major coach. You know, in my era, the majority of the guys started out as high school coaches. You know, and you worked your way up through the high school ranks, and then you decided if you wanted to try to make a move and be a college coach. And so the business has changed. It's still a great way to go to work every day. I never get up in the morning and say, damn, I got to go to work today. And I've had jobs as a young man where I felt that way when I was getting up in the morning, lugging furniture around all day or digging ditches and things like that. So I'm blessed, but I'm concerned about the game just because of the amount of money that's being thrown around and the long-term effects it's going to have on these young guys.
And Coach, I want to ask one more question about that, Coach. When you're talking to a young man, how important now is really get his true why now? Learn how to pick up where his why really is. Some of them say, nah, Coach, it ain't about the money, but it really is about the money. So how do you kind of go about now, to train them how to find out a guy's true why? Because now that's more important than ever.
Oh, it really is. And, you know, for us, with the fact that we're bringing in so many high school guys, we have the opportunity to do that, to meet with him at the high school a few times, get to know his coaches, his family, all of those things. The majority of the guys on my roster, I know their coaches. A lot of them I have relationships with prior to, so I'm getting the straight talk right out of the gate with that. But when you go into transfer portal, that's speed dating, man. Like, you know, hey, you're available. You want to come on a visit. Kid comes in. He behaves. All right, seems okay. You call the coach. The coach at the school he's leaving is pissed he's leaving, so he's going to tell you he's a great kid. So, like, even if he's not. So you got to really be careful, and it's hard to do the research and get down to the nitty-gritty on what kind of person you're going to have with you when you start going in that portal and then you're panicking, especially guys who get new jobs. You know, when you get a brand new job now and half the team's leaving and you're trying to bring new guys in, boy, that's a challenge, man. It's almost like you got to bite the bullet in year one and make sure you're bringing in some quality people, because that can dig a hole a lot deeper for you if you're bringing the wrong cats, you know?
100%, Coach. And, Coach, look at your roster, man. You have some guys who are very switchable, 1-4, 1-5, and give you options on your ball screen coverage, how you want to play defensively. So look about that. That approach to make sure you have switchable size and versatile in multiple ways defensively and, of course, offensively as well.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things I was blessed, man, when I first got out of college and I was teaching in junior high school, I was coaching basketball with Bob McKillop. I started at a different school, Long Island Lutheran, but I was coaching football as an assistant coach, and I was coaching baseball in the spring and just trying to make ends meet. And then when we were at Hofstra, I carried some of that football over to New York. Chance used to practice on campus at Hofstra. And Pete Carroll was there, and then Herm Edwards. And he used to let us as a staff sit in on staff meetings. And I took so much football terminology and organizational skills. I have one of my assistants is the offensive coordinator. The other is a defensive coordinator. And my third assistant does all special situations and things of that nature. And I think it's a great way for them to learn and to prepare themselves to become head coaches. And for me, it's a great way for me to oversee what they're doing, how they're doing it, and moving forward with it like that. And one of the things I always loved defensively was having the ability to put together switchable situations, which we can do. We can switch 1-10 if we want defensively, and then sprinkle in some different defensive coverages, similar to our defensive blitz packages in football. So, you know, we got some calls where we'll go after a ball handler with a double team. We'll go after the first pass with a double team. We'll double team the ball on the baseline. You know, we call those our blitzes. So we have some fun with it. And the kids love it, you know, because it keeps them locked in. And my coaches do it. And then offensively, the same thing. But I'm, you know, I don't like getting bored, man. I don't like being bored in life. I don't like being bored at work and in coaching, obviously. So I let these young guys be creative and come to me with ideas and thoughts. And then if we agree upon them, we put them in the system. And it makes it fun, man, you know. And you're allowed to have fun at work. You know, people forget that sometimes.
No doubt. I got two more for you, Coach. And one of them being, we have so many young guys. How important is it to teach them how to watch film the right way and watch the right things on film and understand right. The scouting report the right way as well?
Right. Well, you know, one of the things we do, we try to teach in multiple ways. Now, as you say, video is so important to them. We send them on their phone after practice, positives and negatives for the practice. Some individual for them, but also for the team. So they get them because we know where they live on the phone. So we get them and they'll look at them on their phone. The next day, prior to practice, we have a flat screen right out. We roll out on the court and we go through some of the same plays and then some different ones. We also go over them on the board so they can – oh, that's old school. That's the way I was taught the game. You know, coach on a blackboard back in my day with a piece of chalk. Now I'm up there with a marker on a fancy board in our locker room, you know, and then talking them through it. So you have to teach them in multiple ways, and everybody absorbs it in a different fashion. But these, you know, these phones have just changed the world, obviously. And for us to get information to them, scouting reports and then practice, you know, our entire scouting report goes out the night before, and the guys get it on their phone. And then we come in the next morning, review it one more time before we go into our walkthrough on game day. So you got to get creative with it. And I listen to the young guys on my staff. You know, one of the things I learned from Coach Massimino was, you know, I have a couple guys in their 20s, a couple guys in their 30s, and I'm the old cat, you know. But I want guys from different age groups looking at things through a different set of eyes and bringing to me the information that I need to make some hard decisions.
And coach, you got some cool opponents to play in the Power Five and non-conference. St. John's on opening night, Pittsburgh and UCF. Talk about how important it is for you guys' experience playing the teams like this. So hopefully, if you win the MAC, it's kind of team you'll play in the tournament. So get them used to that competition all early in the year.
Yeah, that would help tremendously and financially as well. We can't play make believe, you know. Those are guarantee games where you bring some money in, and that's how one of them helps us feed our NIL. Rick Pitino and I go back when I was a college kid at Adelphi. I worked his basketball camp at his high school. And at the time he was, I think he was an assistant with the Knicks when I first started working his camps. And then he moved on to do all those great things he's done. We've had a lifetime relationship. So we opened up against St. John's last year, maybe the second or third game of the year. And this year it'll be the opening game. He knows that we're good. He wants them to be challenged. I believe their second game at Madison Square Garden a few days after ours is against Arkansas. So he's going to have Alabama. You got your hat on. I think he's playing Alabama at the Garden the second game. So he wanted a challenging opening game against a good mid-major, and I respect him for that. And once again, it's about, you know, lifetime relationships with so many people when you've been doing it as long as I have. And those up games are important for us. They're important for us financially, but they're also important for us to set a bar and for our guys to understand what the difference is between the levels and if how good are we going to be. You know, it's a barometer for us. We're going to know after those three games. We're done by Thanksgiving, and, you know, we play Pitt, and then we're down in Florida two nights before Thanksgiving. We'll know where we are as a team. It's a great way for us to gauge who we are and what we need to get better at.
No doubt. Coach McCoy, it's always great to talk to you on the show. I hope we're talking again real soon. And, Coach, I'm going to text you offline because I know we're coming to Brooklyn to play the Nets Halloween. And how far are you from Brooklyn?
Well, I grew up about 3 miles from there as a little kid, and then we moved out to Queens from Brooklyn. I thought we were going to get a horse. I didn't even have a sidewalk. And then in Connecticut, I'm about an hour and a half, but I still have a home on Long Island. So if I'm in the area, I might get over there and we might break bread.
Yeah, because we play the Nets and the Nets. We stay over there by the Garden at the Nomad. So I'll be in the city for at least 2 days, the 30th and the 31st with the Hawks. So 100%, Coach, if you can get down, I'd love to see you, man.
That would be great. And say hello to my man Mike Bray. I think he's still working with you guys.
He's still here. Coach Bray's my guy. I love that dude.
So do I. He's good people. So you have a wonderful day, man. God bless.
Thanks, Coach. See you soon, brother.
All right.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on BS3Network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku. As well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.